Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I am Daniel, you are Nathan, we are brothers, and we read comics.
Yes, we do.
I was about to say podcasts.
We read podcasts.
We read podcasts. We listen to comics.
We listen to a different podcast every single week. We talk about it.
That would not be a good podcast. No,
podcasts in general are not very entertaining. So yeah, one about podcasts.
Especially talking yuck. About podcasts. Yuck. Unless it's ours, you know.
It's very cringe in general.
If you talk about how interesting a Joe Rogan guest was or something. Or
get out of here.
Yeah.
Who invited you to this party?
Yeah, I know. Or like you talk about an episode of someone else's review of a movie that you haven't seen.
That's like, dude, I strongly dislike and never want to talk to people that enjoy comics, but only like YouTube comics, you know?
Oh my God, dude. I hate seeing those videos on TikTok and shit where it's like, they just like run through the comic.
Deadpool is the strongest person in the Marvel universe. One time in comics, Deadpool did this, like all that stuff.
Top five Sith Lords in all of comics or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like there's, I saw one where someone was doing Spider-Man life story and they're just blowing through the comics, showing the pages and then like explaining what happens.
Not that
and,
cool.
And that, and it's like the whole book, you know?
The whole, yeah, that book has so much more than what a 3-minute TikTok could.
Yeah. It was probably a minute. Yeah,
going to. So if you...
I always leave comments like, or just read the comic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Or listen to our podcast then where we had like, Chip Zdarsky on and talk about Spider-Man life story. But also read the comic first. Exactly. It's a better experience.
And then people are like, part two. I'm like, issue two.
Part two is read part one, which is the issue one.
That's your homework, yeah.
And then read part two, three, four, five, and six, the rest of that story. Yeah. It's a bit cringy. But I guess people enjoy comic stuff the way that they want to.
Because like you are not getting the same experience.
The level of excitement when you're like reading it happen, I think, is much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of an experience. But anyway, to each their own. We talk about comics on this podcast, not TikToks that talk about comics. We talk about the comics YouTube themselves. Videos. Yeah,
indeed.
And but before we do that, we have time codes where we have our different segments, and we have the news. We talk about comic book news, things that are happening. The book this week, which is Superman for All Seasons, I think is what it's called.
Yep.
And then the back matter. And then the pull list, : shove it in your box, where we talk about the for real comics we've been reading and TV shows and stuff. So let's get into the news, Daniel.
All righty, Nathan.
Yeah.
Legendary composer John Williams is retiring.
How's that comic book news?
Because he does Star Wars movies and stuff.
Okay.
I just thought of it.
No, he's good.
Because it's very important.
I love me some John Williams. Yeah. I listen to him on a run sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a good experience, but yeah. Something interesting that I found out, actually. This is... You know the game Valorant?
That's the thing you play?
That's the game I play, yeah. Yeah. It's like... Counter-Strike, if people are familiar with that, but it has like abilities and it's from Riot Games, who made League of Legends. They came out with comic book covers that you can have as like your banner for Valorant. So like when you're queued up in like a party, you could see somebody's like banner, and they hired comic book artists to do them and make like Valorant comic book covers. And this one's done by Jim Lee.
Yeah, I was about to say.
So, and then there's another one that I couldn't find who the artist was. Like they had like four different ones, and one was from like a Spanish like comic book artist that I didn't recognize. But there's a really sweet one for Omen, who's like one of the characters that I play.
Yeah, that's sick.
And I'm like, this kind of looks like Kenneth Rockefeller, but I don't know for sure because he didn't post anything on Twitter or anything, but it kind of looks like his stuff. But I thought that was cool. They hired Jim Lee.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a big get. So cool stuff.
That's always fun.
Yeah. I like
seeing they should make books now. Yeah. Like a one shot.
I would read it. Yeah. I mean, they did it for like, there were comics for Overwatch, and I remember reading those. Had a pretty good time with those. Yeah. So. And they make League of Legends comics. So same company.
Right.
So we'll see.
Nathan, the Invisible Man director, Lee Whannell. He's going to be directing a Green Hornet reboot.
Oh, I heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
Why not? He's good.
God, I haven't seen that Green Hornet movie in forever. We should read a Green Hornet comic as
we
well.
We absolutely should.
What is that, Dynamite? Or something
Boom?
Like that?
Dynamite, probably.
Dynamite, I think, yeah. Yeah, that's like a whole era of comics.
Kevin Smith
did one, yeah.
That's all I can think of, really.
I think Mark Waid maybe did one.
Probably.
Yeah, he's done everything. But that's pretty cool. Yeah, a good old Green Hornet.
Because I liked that.
Get Seth Rogen back.
I like the Seth Rogen movie. Like, I know a lot of people don't like it, but
he's just like a big goof running around, and his sidekick
cool.
dude is like, yeah, he's much cooler, and I enjoyed that dynamic.
Yeah.
Daniel, 10,000 Black Feathers continues the Bone Orchard universe, the one by Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino, mm-hmm. in September of 2023. So that's pretty soon. It's like 2 months, 3 months.
September 2023?
Sorry, 2022.
Okay. Yeah, we knew that, right? Like, they gave us like kind of a timeline for those.
I think it was like late 2022, but yeah, that's when the next one comes. And I think it'll be in like a trade sort of, or a graphic novel format.
I think they all are like that, yeah.
That's cool. I would prefer that.
Yeah, I'm too sick of all these floppies, Nathan.
Yeah.
I need more shit on my bookshelf.
Yeah, same.
Nathan, not really comics news, but kind of our podcast news. There's a... There's a trailer for Solar Opposites Season 3.
Oh, really? When does that come out?
July 13th.
What?
Yeah,
that's so soon.
I know.
That's like 2 weeks. Someone, dude, I love that show.
Someone said it was coming. I'm like, oh, when? Do we know? They're like, I don't know. I just watched the trailer. I'm like, there's a trailer? I didn't even know they were doing Season 3.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't know either. Yeah, that show's the fucking best, and I can't recommend it to anybody for some. Like, I just, I love it, and I don't know if anybody
else.
We're
so stoked about Season 3, but I can't tell anybody.
Yeah, I can't. I'm so excited just for myself.
Nathan, speaking of Season 3 trailers, we got one for the Harley Quinn show.
Oh, yeah, and James Gunn is a voice actor in it.
Is he really?
Yeah, he
plays...
Playing
what?
James Gunn.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah, I saw the trailer... And like James Gunn updated his like profile picture or whatever, but the part he's in the trailer and somebody's like, oh my God, James Gunn, sit on my face or something like that. So, yeah, I saw that and I was like, I really need to finish Season 2 because I really enjoy that show a lot.
I need to just start it, I guess.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
For sure.
I had a lot of fun the first season.
Yeah. Season 3 comes July 28th.
Yep.
Maybe
probably on HBO Max.
Harley Quinn book.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
She's
got some good ones.
Haven't done anything.
Very cool.
Dude, did you know that Derek Robertson was in Arizona this past weekend?
Yeah, I fucking missed it.
I know. I saw it when he was already home because he tweeted about how much he
likes...
Does
he live in Arizona?
No, he lives in California.
Yeah, no, I saw
that. He did a signing at like Samurai, I think.
Yeah, they announced... Yeah, at Samurai Comics in Phoenix. And I saw like 2 weeks before that it was coming on Saturday and I was like, I should be able to make that, I think.
Yeah.
And then he came and left and I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, I don't really have much from him other than like... His current Batman Fortress run.
I guess
he did Legends of the Dark Knight, which is like a smaller thing too.
Ash just put the number one for Boys. It's like a raw issue though. And for like $110.
A raw issue?
Like not graded.
Oh, okay.
That's what the
nerds get it?
Say. I know. I'm like,
get it and grade it.
Because I looked at some graded ones.
Yeah.
And those go for like three or four.
Damn.
But apparently CGC is like super backed up. When it comes to just getting things graded, like it'd take like 6 months or something to get
Damn,
something
that's
graded.
Crazy.
Yeah, like I would forget about the book that I had.
Yeah, that would freak me out.
So,
Daniel, Walmart is starting to sell comics that are paired with like little figures from DC. So, they call them page punchers, and they are like reprints of famous DC series, and mm-hmm. they have like little action figures, like kind of. Packaged with them, so there's like Superman Rebirth number one, Flashpoint number one, Black Adam Endless Winter Special number one.
Wow.
There's like a Batman one on there from Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Nice.
I like seeing comics in other places other than comic shops.
Yeah, isn't it weird? Dude, I wish they would still have them at like, you know, like newsstands and stuff.
That'd be sweet. I mean, I don't know if newsstands are really that much of a thing.
True. I mean, I think there's in New York. I don't know.
Probably. Like, I don't know. I've never been there.
I have a friend who lives in New York and I need her to tell me, but like, I feel like they're still there. Like they're in the Spider-Man movies, right?
I couldn't tell you.
They're in Watchmen. That was only a couple years ago. Yeah. Wait, no, that was based in like the 80s.
That was, yeah, in the 80s. But something like really entertains me about like a child picking up like Flashpoint and being like, what the fuck is happening here?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Like the Superman Rebirth is fine. Like the Batman one, that's probably fine. Everybody knows Batman. And then there's just like Flashpoint, an event book that changes like the whole fucking universe.
You think it'd just be like all the Rebirth number ones or something to kind of make it simpler.
Yeah, and then they could start picking up like the rest of Rebirth.
If you're trying to get like young readers and or just new readers in general, start off to where it's not overwhelming, because I think that's what...
Yeah, maybe start off where it doesn't lead into a reboot.
You know? Yeah.
Seems strange, but I thought that was kind of cool. I think it's a great idea, honestly.
Yeah, I would get some of those.
Yeah, if I see one, I'll pick one up because I want that little Flash toy.
For sure. I don't have any other news.
Daniel, 8 Billion Genies is headed to Amazon Studios for development as a film, TV series, and more. I don't know how that works, though. Like
number
a film
two's
and
not
a TV...
even out, is it?
Two came out this week.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, I picked it up.
Shit.
So that's pretty cool. That's the book that just came out from Charles Soule and Ryan Brown. And it's very enjoyable. Everybody on Earth gets one wish from one genie.
I think that would be cool.
Yeah, I think that would be very nice. Other than that, the only... This is like kind of news, but not really. r/DC Comics on Reddit created a top runs of DC Comics, and they put like a top 59 runs on there, and I thought it was a pretty interesting list, actually. Some of the higher ones include like Omega Men from like Tom King. Mr. Miracle is also on there, New Frontier and stuff. But I was just like looking at these and I'm like, we've done a lot of these. Like
that. Yeah, it's really
Watchmen, All-Star Superman.
It's Mr. cool Miracle getting through those like, you know, legendary kind of ones.
Yeah,
because someone asked me at like work if I read, what was it? House of M. I'm like, we have an episode on it.
Yeah.
You know what great. I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of ones that, like interesting ones that I haven't even thought of. Like there's the Kevin Smith, like Green Arrow in on there. There's like the Question from a while ago. There is like Far Sector where they introduced that like new Green Lantern.
Yeah.
So there's like a bunch of different ones.
So there's some newer
Secret
stuff
Six.
On there.
Yeah. Some newer stuff like Superman Smashes the Klan, which is that like young adult Superman one.
Yeah.
Where he punches a KKK member.
Nice.
That's on there. So yeah, thought that was kind of interesting. Go check that out.
Add it to the list, Nathan.
Yeah, that's a solid list there.
I love lists of things I need to read, you know?
Yeah, and it wasn't, like, predictable, because, like, number one is Batman by Grant Morrison, and then number two is The Flash by Mark Waid, you know?
So it's not, like, just Watchmen.
It's not just, like Watchmen's in the top 10, and All-Star Superman's in the top 10, but it's also, like, Green Lantern by Geoff Johns is, like, number 5, and New Frontier by, like, Darwin Cook
is
like,
year one in there?
Yes, it is. It's 29.
That's
which is
criminally
which
low,
is below Batman The Long Halloween.
Okay.
Batman New 52 by Scott Snyder.
Okay, all right, maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't.
And
do
it's
that.
Below Gotham Central from Ed Brubaker and Greg Rucka.
Wow.
Yeah. So maybe we should read that one. I don't know. I've never read that one, the Gotham Central one.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I heard it's great, but yeah, it seems like a very interesting list, and like it was a community thing that like voted.
Oh, it was like a voting thing? It's not just some dude?
Yeah, it wasn't like some dude. It was like a voting thing. So like there's 10 that are tied for like number 48 and 10 that are tied for like 59. But like there's no...
What's in last place? What's one of the 59?
Well, like there's 10 that are like 59 and...
Like what?
Superman Last Son of Krypton, which we read.
Oh, right.
Nightwing by Peter J. Tomasi. Hitman from Garth Ennis. Hellblazer, I think also from Garth Ennis. Green Lantern Corps. Green Lantern.
Get that shit out of there.
Fourth World. Batman The Dark Knight, like the first one. Is
DKR?
50, DKR, yeah, 59. So, which I mean...
Yeah, see, because like,
it is a good
like,
book, but it's
like
not like
Watchmen
the best,
and like DKR would be in those like lists, you know?
Yeah.
But, all right, whatever.
Yeah, so...
It's cool.
Very cool. That's everything I got, though, I think.
All righty, Nathan. Let's get into our book.
Yeah. What did we read, Daniel?
We read Superman For All Seasons by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
The late and the great.
The late and the great. Colors by... I don't have it open. Hold on. Jarn Hansen.
Don't know that guy.
But he was kick-ass. Dude,
he fucking did great. Yeah, this is like... Well, one...
There's overall not thoughts, Nathan.
There's not a drop of blood in this book, which is a nice palate cleanser for us.
Oh, absolutely. Because
the last two books, I think, have been the bloodiest... The top two bloodiest.
Nathan, this is a delight.
This was a fucking perfect Superman
this
story.
This is... my heart is refilled.
It really is, dude.
It's,
like,
it's recharged, replenished from like, the agony that we've gone through as far as brutality and gore.
Like, if people ever say, like, my favorite superhero is, like, Superman, sometimes people are like, oh, that's boring. But if they are like, I read this book, I'd be like, yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
I feel like we've read some really solid Superman runs.
Yeah, like, that Last Son of Krypton one is also, I think, very, like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
But this one, I think, kind of, it's just, like, wholesome, you know?
Yeah, this is made me great. This made my heart happy.
It really did. And I think it's one of the rare cases where... writer and artist and colorist and even letterer are all like operating at like 1,000%. Like every single aspect of this book is just incredible comics.
Yeah, I wouldn't change like anything about this.
Yeah, like I love Tim Sale's thick boy Superman. Like oh, it's just perfect.
It's like a bulking Superman, basically.
Big bulking man, yeah. And like everything about like the parents and like Smallville feels very small, like a small town that everybody like knows each other and it's very wholesome. And then like when he goes to Metropolis, it's like this big thing. And yeah, I think this book's incredible.
Yeah, so, there's not a lot of panels on like each page, you know, and mm-hmm. there's like always a couple like incredible double page panels or double page spreads.
Yeah, and you know they're good because he signs his name in the bottom corner of every single one.
This is badass. Got right.
He's like, "Yep, Tim Sale, that's me."
Got to take credit for this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool because you know every season is like a different issue, and each issue is narrated by a different character.
Yeah, I really enjoy that aspect,
which was neat.
Yeah,
and want to just get into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, there's not a whole lot of complexity to this book. There's barely even any fighting, which I think is really impressive because it's still, like, my favorite Superman story, and there's, like, barely any action, you know?
Yeah, it's, like, it's a self-contained,
like,
story, and it's kind of a retelling of the origin, you know, and...
And it's just telling you, like, why Superman is, like, the way he is, and, you know, even when he's faced with kind of... tough situations and like how he gets over them, it's like that's all like a part of Superman's like identity here. So
I felt like it was more of like a Clark Kent book than like a Superman book, you
yeah
know?
Kind of. It's just about like him as like a person,
yeah, and just kind of what comes with being Superman.
Yeah, so it just shows like the humble beginnings of Clark Kent being raised on the farm, like his farmhouse. Is that what you would call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a farmhouse by his parents, John and Martha Kent.
John's narrating this one in the and it's a spring issue.
Yeah, and he's just like getting out there on the farm and he's like hoeing shit and doing everything himself. And then Clark's just like carrying like a big rock next to him or whatever.
Yeah, he's a senior in high school here.
Yeah, he is. He's got he's a fucking huge dude. Like I just love how thick his neck is.
Yeah,
I think a good Superman has to have a thick neck.
It's like, so important.
It is, and I don't know why. And like I love how Tim Sale just draws Superman and like obviously his structure, but just like his face, like the facial expressions of Superman are so genuine and humble.
He's got a very kind face,
and he's got like a very small mouth, which I think is like like the size of his chin in general is like huge. And I don't know, that just like adds to the stoicness for some reason, but right. It's super cool. But
it just, it's just kind of like a signature way that he draws Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like when people kind of have like their own style and you can recognize different characters that they do based off of things like this.
Mm-hmm. And, so Clark's realizing that he's starting to like develop these powers and he's got his girlfriend, Lana Lang, and his friend, Pete.
And they're friends. And she's not a girlfriend.
Well, friend. Okay, yeah. Friend Lana Lang. And then his other friend, Pete.
It is a friend that happens to be a girl.
Yeah, yeah. But that's okay sometimes. You can do that. You know, yeah, platonic. Yeah,
definitely.
Don't they like... So they're never like official. They don't put a title on it. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because they kiss later.
Right.
Okay.
That's why that's a big moment.
Okay, cool. Because
that's
all
like the first kind of kiss thing.
Okay. And so his friends kind of notice him acting strange and like weird things are happening like around him. As he's like starting to develop these powers, like he goes into a barber shop to get his hair cut and his hair like breaks the scissors and he's like, I gotta fucking go. And then he leaves. Like,
yeah.
But I like this moment where Clark's parents are talking about how they want to handle like Clark as he gets stronger with like more powers. And then Clark, because he has super hearing, is like hearing it from his room.
Yeah.
And he's like hearing all of it. I thought that was kind of a cool moment. But also for like a Boy Scout type character, this dude's got a messy fucking room.
Yeah, I know.
Did you see? Like there's shit everywhere. And like there's like clothes on the ground and shit.
So this is kind of, I don't know if you read the, I don't know, the part in the beginning, like all the dedications and stuff like that.
I actually didn't.
Tim Sale doesn't dedicate the book, but thanks Norman Rockwell for
inspiration. Dude, I saw so much of that inspiration.
Exactly, yeah. I was looking at, there's a bunch of pages where there's so much detail and so much stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
and it reminds me so much of his artwork.
Yeah, especially like the coloring, I think, really yeah. emphasizes that. Like there's a couple scenes where they're in a diner. At some point.
The diner specifically is what I was thinking.
Diners, like there's that one with like the kid and like the cop or whatever. And that that one looked very similar to a panel that's like in issue 3 or something. But yeah, I definitely see Norman Rockwell just with like how they color highlights on the face and stuff like that.
Right.
But in general, like the coloring on everything is so good and like lighthearted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It almost looks like, I don't even know how they did it.
There's like hardly any shadows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like...
Nothing is like dark. It's all...
It's not brooding at all. It's very, very lighthearted.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that because that can also be very hard to balance.
Yeah. And I think the Norman Rockwell style like really fits with like the small town kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool detail, I thought.
Yeah. And speaking of a small town, like it feels like a tiny town where you can just like walk everywhere. And then like when you walk everywhere, everybody knows everybody. So like when they walk into the diner, there's like those four old men playing cards and they're just like always playing cards.
Yeah, it's
the same game.
It was really cool how like they named all those people and then there's a conversation going on mm-hmm. that's not even really important to what Clark's doing.
Yeah.
But it just gives a ton of context to like the world that he's in.
Mm-hmm. So what's interesting too is that he clearly went into like the barber to get like his normal haircut
mm-hmm.
and then the hair breaks the scissors. But obviously that didn't happen any time before. So it seems like in this version, his powers sort of started to develop in like his high school years, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, rather than him being like a super strong kid or something.
Yeah, because I think normally in normal continuity, it's like as soon as his Kryptonian DNA got exposed to like the red sun is when he starts to get those powers. But it seems like this one came to later, which I thought was cool.
I'd like to read a book about just like a super baby, you know? Just him as a baby growing up and all the...
That'd be pretty fun.
All the ruckus he gets into.
Yeah, normally if you read like a Superman book, he's already Superman. There's like a flashback to when he's a kid and he has to stop the bus from crashing or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just want all of that.
Yeah, no.
I think there's like...
There's gotta be.
Superman like American Alien or something like that where he's like...
I think that's like high school.
I think it's high school still, years, yeah.
But that would give a little bit more of that.
I want toddler.
just call it Super Baby. I don't care.
Yeah, super, I'm cool with that. One day a tornado makes its way through Smallville and it like scoops up Clark, but he like manages to direct himself and he tackles a civilian out of the way of a gas station explosion that was about to happen. And it's kind of like ambiguous, like to the civilian, he was just picked up by the tornado.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're supposed to put together that he was like directing himself and he was kind of learning how to fly in this situation.
Yeah.
Cause he pointed himself at that civilian to save him. And, so this is when Clark starts to question like if he can do more with his powers. So he decides to head to Metropolis and we're introduced to Lois, Jimmy Olsen, Lex Luthor, and like Lois and Luthor like go on a date together, which is interesting. And then Clark's just flying around as Superman. So he's clearly been in Metropolis for a little bit to like get a job and stuff. But
yeah,
that's like the end of this issue, really. That's kind of what happens.
And there is a bit where he shows Lana like his powers and like takes her flying stuff.
That was cool.
Because best friends, Nathan.
They're best friends. And
you show your best friends your superpowers, obviously.
But she kisses him. So I'm not like, oh, okay, here? They're dating. Yeah, they're fucking. That's what I thought.
You didn't kiss in this issue?
Yes, they did. Right here. It was like right after that double page spread. Which, by the way, like...
Okay, that's not me then.
I think Tim Sale draws Superman flying so... good.
That's like, the best part, yeah.
Like the poses that he's doing in the air, it's not just like the simple like two fists kind of in front of him. It's always like kind of this,
he's like, I don't know, what's up guys?
It's like this exaggerated pose and he's like always like bending certain limbs like a certain way and it's like really fun. It feels like Peter Pan or some shit and rather than like Superman. Yeah. which which is cool. Like, I think that would be really hard to try and demonstrate, but he does a really good job.
Hey, then what do you think about these black undies?
Who's got black undies?
Superman in the second last page of the last episode or last issue.
Let's see these black undies. They're not black. They're like red.
They're like, I mean, like
the shading
black.
Is like black. Is it like that the whole time? Surely not, right?
It is. No. And even the,
oh my God,
even
you're right.
The shine's a little different.
The shine is red, but they're, I mean, I don't know. To me, I
didn't notice it until the next issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like look at the cover of the next one. And even the second page.
Fuck, you're right.
In the second issue.
Yeah,
they're like black.
I don't know. Make him red. Who gives a who gives a fuck?
I mean, like,
he's got a red cape. Just make him red. But yeah, I didn't notice that. That is interesting.
Once I noticed it, I couldn't stop looking at it.
I won't be able to stop looking at it.
But like, you don't notice it at first, but which means I think it's a good design, you know?
Yeah.
But I think there's something you kind of like about just these three colors that he has. So just adding another one seems odd.
Strange, yeah.
They did try and keep it as like red as possible with like the shine and all.
What do you think about Ginger Lex Luthor?
Is he ginger?
Yeah, he's got hair and he's like a ginger and he's got big ass bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, I like seeing, because this is obviously very early Superman, so there's like obviously going to be an early Lex, you know? So it's cool to see like how he was
and prior he's got hair to his and hair. Stuff. He gives off big ginger energy, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, that makes sense.
This first page of the second issue.
Hold on. Before we get there, I just love that like two-page sequence where there's a dude like running on top of the building for some reason trying to chase a cat. And he like almost falls off and then Superman catches him.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is this kid doing up there?
That kid's trying to kill himself like throughout this whole series. There's like four times where he almost dies. But
yeah, he's running on this ledge on a skyscraper.
I just love when the kid says like, wow, cool costume. And Superman's like, thanks, my mom made it for me. And it's like the most perfect and like humble line, like executed to perfection because he's like saluting him and shit too.
Yeah.
It's so good.
He doesn't have to be cool because he's already the coolest guy.
He's already cool. And he's like, thanks. Like,
yeah, my mom made me these black underwear.
Yeah, I love that shit. But anyway, issue two. This is the summer issue two.
Yeah, so the first page of this, I'm like, damn, these colors are so fucking good. Like the pastel kind of colors that he's going with right now.
Yeah, really.
It's super satisfying to look at.
Mm-hmm. And we got our thick boy Superman, probably the best look of him in that double page spread where he's flying around. And God, he's just got ginormous forearms. Like something about the forearms make him
the biggest chest
the
ever.
Biggest chest.
Borderline titties.
It is,
you know?
It is crazy. But we just kind of see Superman doing like various Superman things in Metropolis. He's like stopping missiles and he's picking up submarines.
Dude.
And he saves Lois from like a terrorist, all while like Lex is there to like criticize him kind of deal. But
so this one's narrated by Lois.
Yeah.
But this is like the first panel where I'm like, damn, dude, Superman's thick.
Dude, he is. I love this panel, too, because the missile, like, reflection, like, showing the clouds and, like, distorting them a little bit.
It's almost, like, invisible.
It's so fucking good, though.
Yeah, it looks great.
Because you also see, like, the reflection of Superman, but it's kind of distorted a little bit, too. Like, it's just such a good page. And, again, that pose with Superman, he's got craziest back muscles. And I fucking drool over this shit. Like, it's so good.
Great.
And, I like how in the narration, Lois Lane is talking about how Superman has all these powers and he can basically do anything he wants. And she's skeptical about Superman deciding to like be a good person.
Yeah.
Because that's like,
it's like, why would this guy not just benefit himself?
And yeah, that's like the journalist instinct for sure, too, from her. Yeah. So I think that's good character development. And I love how ridiculously long the submarine is when he picks it up. I don't know if you noticed, but it looks like that shit's a mile long.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
So I just like how exaggerated that is.
Like, it's big and awkward, but he still, like, carries it with one hand.
He's just bouncing
it's
it,
like, come on.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the thing that you're just like, yep, Superman does that. Doesn't matter. But
he, like, tears open, like, the hull of this ship like it's aluminum foil.
Yeah. But, like, and so he takes a terrorist out, and like Lois Lane is there too for some reason.
Yeah, how'd she get in this submarine?
How does she get in this situation? I have no idea. But he's like taking Lois as hostage, and then Superman goes and grabs the gun real quick as Lex is like trying to defuse the situation.
Yeah, he's trying to negotiate his way through this.
And that like color streak in the air as he like goes in, grabs a gun, and goes back is so fun.
Yeah.
Just seeing like Lex in the middle of saying like one word, and Superman just already defuses the situation.
Yeah, they do that streak later when he's like flying, and it's like this almost like Superman colored rainbow thing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's going through the sky. I really like seeing that.
Yeah. And so after that, like, Superman flies Lois back to her place, and it's pretty fun. I don't know how she doesn't notice this Clark. It's like, yeah, one of those it's things. Like
you're literally you're in
right
his
there.
Hands.
Yeah.
Look at the guy.
Yeah. Who else has a big ass chin like that? Only one person.
There but. Was a narration part where I guess Lois and what's his name? Jimmy, like, mm-hmm. calculated how much like Lex Luthor makes.
Like a second.
Yeah, and it was like $150 a second. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that ain't shit. Jeff Bezos, I looked it up, he makes $2,537 per second.
That's insane.
Yeah, I'm like, Lex Luthor ain't shit.
Yeah, no.
Jeff Bezos is like...
He's that little petty boy billionaire, you know?
Yeah.
I like how just hard Lex gets cock-blocked by Superman in this book.
Oh, yeah.
Because Lex is like trying to date Lois or something. I don't know what he's trying to do, but they like go on... They went out for dinner like the first issue, and he's like still trying to like, I don't know, go after her, and then Superman just like picks her up and flies her away. That's sick. But Superman visits home, and he like sees his parents and the people around, and he realizes that he doesn't really fit very well inside Metropolis or like Smallville anymore. And so he goes back to Metropolis, and there's like a chemical plant fire that Lex Luthor has like some robots that he tries to go defuse the situation, and they attempt to put out the fire, but they missed a civilian that was inside because Superman can obviously see through walls and stuff. So Superman saves her. And then later Lex goes to that girl's house in need of a gifted chemist. So I think it's really cute. Like when he goes back to Smallville, all the like Smallville residents are like super proud of him, and they like get the Daily Planet.
Yeah. They get like,
oh my God, that's Clark.
They get shipped to Kansas.
Yeah. It's so funny. And in the scene where he's trying to save the person in the chemical fire, Lex's robots are there and they're like shooting water out of their hands or whatever. But I like how he just like slaps one. He like backhands one of them and just like moves him out of the way. He's like, I don't have time for this. That was a good moment too. And like he puts out the fire, but I don't really understand how he does it. Because there's this scene where he's like, I don't know. Does he like do a McTwisty sort of tornado thing to try and like,
I think that's how he does it and like leads the fire away.
Okay, that's interesting. I've never seen someone take out a fire like that.
It's a little hard to read for it to translate like that.
Yeah.
But sure, that's what had to happen.
I think that's what he does. So he must spin real fast. He also uses his cape to pick up that person that was in the chemical fire.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. Because at first I was like, where did he get this like blanket?
He just takes it off?
No, maybe he takes it off.
Yeah, because it's not on his shoulders when she's all wrapped up.
How does that work? Is it like Velcro, maybe?
No shot, Velcro just hangs on when he's flying. He's like, faster than a bullet.
Get in this.
Or it's like little,
like, how else is it on there? I don't know.
It's like little fucking buttons. It's like...
He puts it back on. So it must be some strong material. I don't know.
It's just, you know, the...
Maybe it's a clip-on.
Like a tie?
A clip-on cape. But yeah, he does take off his cape.
I want like there. A good explanation, but there isn't
there's,
one.
There's, you don't need an explanation. All you need to know is that he uses his cape to take this person out. But I need to know.
Yeah,
I need to hit up Jeff Loeb. So yeah, issue 3. This is the fall. So it takes place from like Luther's perspective. He's the one that's doing the narrations, and he like gets out of jail, and then he goes to Lex Tower, and we see Jenny Vaughn strapped to a chair being forced to watch like a bunch of Superman content. And Jenny Vaughn was the one that was in the chemical plant fire that Lex went to go talk to later. And then Clark is at the Daily Planet, and everyone suddenly and simultaneously passes out. And so that's a pretty big moment. But like, there's so many good double page spreads in this book. Like, it happens like once every like 5 pages, there's like this, the most insane double page spread, right?
Yeah.
But I think this one where everybody passes out is my favorite, just because the composition of it and like the angle that he draws it at, where it's kind of like diagonal almost.
Yeah, it's like tilted.
Yeah, it really emphasizes like the craziness of like the situation.
Yeah.
So yeah, this one's like one of my favorites. It's really effective. And it turns out that like all of Metropolis is knocked out. So Superman scrambles to like save people. He like stops a train and whatnot. And then he goes to Star Labs to try and figure out an antidote.
Is that where he went?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Star. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If I just looked at that panel.
Yeah. He goes to Star Labs and he's like, what the fuck's going on? And he's like, I don't know, but maybe check with Lex. So he goes to Lex, and Lex has already sealed himself into like his office. Because, I don't know, he's a paranoid billionaire, I guess. And so Lex like threatens rumors that Superman was the carrier or whatever knocked everybody out in Metropolis.
Because he's like an alien or whatever.
Yeah, because he's an alien. So he basically tries to like Dr. Manhattan him.
Yeah.
You know how everybody, like, everybody like gaslit Dr. Manhattan into thinking that he gave everybody cancer or whatever. So yeah. That's pretty much what happens here. And so, but luckily Lex has a solution and Jenny Vaughn walks out. And she's now toxin with a cure to the virus that they need to like administer through the clouds.
Not the symbiote toxin.
No.
But this is this toxin.
Yeah. And so, toxin doesn't sound like much of a good guy name.
No.
Maybe I'm
bad.
Just too used to toxin, like the symbiote.
I'm pretty sure toxins always mean like bad.
Yeah, true. That's always got a bad connotation. But yeah, so they... Superman like flies her up and she just sprays the clouds and then the clouds rain the antidote. But what a crazy just situation.
Yeah, I know.
And then
Toxin dies.
She like dies suddenly, which I don't understand.
I guess she had like she was too close to the antidote and was exposed to too much of it.
And then she dies.
Yeah.
And then Lex Luthor blames Superman and like tells him to leave. So Clark goes back to Smallville for a bit.
Yeah, so like Luthor was like trying to scare him off with this like sickness thing to kind of prove to him that
he can't save everybody.
He can't save everyone. He can't always like be the one to help, you know, because some things he just like can't help with like this.
Yeah, sometimes like the Superman can't save everybody. And in this situation, it's something that he doesn't understand. And it like really seems to have like a burden on him because he goes back to Smallville and he goes to his dad and he's like, I think I need to stay here in Smallville for a while.
Yeah,
and he's
pretty,
like very
sad. Bummed.
Yeah, he's super bummed. So yeah, Lex Luthor is like the villain in this, but he doesn't like necessarily harm anybody. He just kind of messes with Superman's ego, you know?
Yeah, he's just a little bully.
He's a little bully. Also, he's lost a lot of hair from like the first issue to like this third issue. Because he's got like a Danny DeVito going on. And he doesn't have any top hair.
He's got like the...
So he's like slowly balding.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting.
He's got like the horseshoe haircut.
Yeah. Because when I saw the horseshoe, I'm like, oh, he's going to be bald by the end. But he's not. So it's just showing him slowly balding.
How long was he in jail?
I don't know. I don't know why he was in jail either.
Well, I mean, maybe he had some sort of connection to the submarine thing. Because Superman is like... I swear, if you're involved...
I figured it was, like, the chemical fire or something, because that had, like, just happened as well, but, yeah, it's not really elaborated on. You just know that he gets out of jail.
Because this does, like, jump between the seasons, so it could have been, like, a couple months.
Yeah, you know? True. I mean, that's still pretty fast, actually, for a court case. But, yeah. So now, the last issue is in the winter, and there's no Superman or Clark Kent in Metropolis. He's gone. And he's having a reunion with Lana Lang and Pete in Smallville, which is kind of nice.
And Lana's narrating this one.
Yeah, Lana's narrating this one. During dinner, like at his parents' place, Chief Parker warns the family of a flood that's coming. And so that flood happens and Superman goes to like minimize the damage to the town and stuff. And he has to save his parents and Lana as well. Because they were trying to like get away in like a truck or something. And then they got fucked up by the flood.
Yeah, there's like some bridge that collapsed.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that his dad didn't die because I fully expected him to die. Like, especially when he like was stuck in the flood. Yeah. I'm like, something bad's going to happen. And I
was like, no.
I was so thankful that it didn't because like it's expected that he's going to die and Superman's going to have to like learn something somehow. But like he doesn't die and he's still like thankful for his dad.
And Shelby was out of the car too. I'm
yeah,
like,
the dog.
I'm like, don't ruin this. This is the last issue.
I know. Dude, they were so close to ruining this book. Like if that dog died, because that dog's really cute and you see that dog age over like this year, I guess.
Yeah, and it's like an old dog.
I guess it's not over a year, this book, because he's in Metropolis for like a while, it seems.
It could have been like a year and a season kind
yeah
of thing,
something like that
or
but yeah
so
we
on.
See Shelby get older and I'm like if Shelby fucking dies I swear to God
but no she was on like a rock
yeah,
in
she's
the
like
river
barking so yeah. Everything ends like very nicely and I'm like hell yeah
yeah
and there's a Lana has like a monologue where she compares Superman to like firemen and nurses as to like why he does good. And it's like how all of those people do good to inspire good in others. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Yeah. I love that comparison. But yeah, like basically saving the town in the flood and all that kind of revitalizes his confidence and his need to help all people. And he just goes back to Metropolis and he starts saving people faster than Luther's robots ever could. And that kid Trevor almost falls off the fucking building again. I don't know what the hell he's doing.
He's on the roof.
He's on the roof.
Like, chasing a cat.
And so he like has to save him again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this dude's trying to kill himself? Is there like a Trevor like villain or something? Like this has to be an origin story.
Oh no, it's Trevor.
My cat fell off that building and Superman was there to save him.
For the fifth time or whatever. For the
fifth time, yeah. I bet Superman's like, God damn it, Trevor, stop fucking running around on buildings.
What I thought was interesting, I was like, Lana Lang, that's like so familiar, right? Mm-hmm. And I look it up and she's like Superwoman in certain continuities.
Oh.
And so that's what...
It does sound very familiar.
And yeah. She was created by Bill Finger.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And did like, he do Superman?
I guess.
For a time? That's cool.
Yeah. And so Bill Finger being one of the creators of Batman the as
goat.
Well.
Yeah.
The goat. Along with... Bob Kane.
Yeah, that's the book.
Yeah. Back matter matters.
No back matter.
Yeah, dude, come on.
This is kind of like a graphic novel, though, so it's like there's not really kind of any back matter.
Could have had some pencils or something.
Yeah, that would have been cool. I just wanted, like, this is like, I've only read from Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, like Superman or Spider-Man Blue.
Same.
And I wasn't like blown out of the water with it. I think it was still like a good, fun story.
Yeah.
I think I might appreciate it more if I reread it, but this is like going to be pretty hard to top.
Definitely. This one had like a lot of reviews.
Yeah.
And since, after I read this, I'm like, I really like that artwork. I like kind of flipped through Long Halloween and it's like very similar art style. So.
He's got a very interesting Batman as well.
Yeah. So.
Like, The look of him, I think, is interesting. But I think he nails... Like, this whole team nails everything in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Let's rate it, Daniel. What would you rate this book?
I give it a love it, Nathan. I love that shit. It was great.
Yeah.
Super, super wholesome. There wasn't much of, like... I like a plot that's kind of what people are going through, like... internally, mm-hmm. you know, not just like, oh, here's a bad guy and we gotta stop the bad guy, or here's a problem kind of thing.
I think that this book is really impressive because there's not really a whole lot of action. Like in the other Superman book we did, like Last on a Krypton with Jeff Johns and stuff.
Yeah.
There is action and stuff going on there that is really like visually interesting. But I think it's crazy that they made like what I think is like a better book with barely any action. Like he kind of like just randomly will stop a missile or something for like a couple pages. And then everything else is just like what's going on around him and what makes him so special.
Yeah.
And you really feel that in this. So
there was, I think it's when you think of Superman, you think of this like unbeatable alien creature guy. And I think books like this, like really humanize him, mm-hmm. which makes him just more interesting in general.
I agree.
So
this is a gotta have it for me, Daniel. Not just a love it. You rated it a love it, but this is a gotta have it for me. And they actually have Superman ice cream. I don't know where.
Superman ice cream it is.
Yes, it's a Superman ice cream for me.
Or like one of those Superman like pops or whatever that you can get on like ice cream trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Where the eyes are always fucked up.
The eyes are like kind of down here like in his cheek. No, I rate this a gotta have it. I don't think Cold Stone is the one that has the Superman ice cream, but
it's probably like Baskin Robbins or something.
Yeah. Just give me a bucket of that. A bucket of Superman ice cream and I'll eat it all because it's wonderful, you know?
Yeah.
So this book is, it's like the perfect Superman book for me.
Yeah. It was really solid.
And
I think of comics, I think of a little bit more like of the action and whatnot. And I think there's kind of it's possible to do something like this. Maybe have like a bigger villain or something like that and still kind of hit all these marks as mm-hmm. as far as like what Superman's feeling.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like Superman books out there that are like gotta habits for me.
Yeah.
But this one is like a very high love it. You know what I mean?
Same. Yeah. And there's definitely those Superman books that have like the action and the wholesomeness as well. Like, I think Bendis kind of does that pretty well in the beginning of his Superman run.
Okay.
But I think honing in on like one of those pieces of Superman is good, and this book does that very well.
Right.
So let's go into the pull list then. Colon.
Shove it in your box. Sorry,
yes, sir.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box? I didn't go to the comic shop today.
What?
I didn't work today, so like I wasn't near there. You know, I would have to like leave and go.
Went there right before coming here. So
oh, you did? Yeah.
But so since I went, I picked up issue one of Chip Zdarsky's Public Domain, number one. That's his book that he's been releasing on Substack.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read all of it, but the way that he was releasing it was like a couple pages at a time.
Right.
And it is very interesting, and I know that I'm going to like enjoy it. So I picked it up all at once, and I'm going to reread it. But I also picked up...
Is it a trade?
Or it's a single issue.
Okay.
Yeah, it's issue one.
How many issues is it?
I think he...
Or will it be?
It's going to be ongoing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I think where he's at right now is probably past trade, I would want to say. But like I don't know specifically. Like the
first trade or whatever?
Yeah, I think so. And so Image is going to be like publishing these issues as they come. So
nice.
That's pretty cool. I also picked up Batman Fortress number 2 by Derek Robertson and Gary Whitta, which is that one where all the power goes out. Superman's nowhere to be found. Batman's got to figure some shit out. Batman Catwoman number 12 by Tom King, ending his like kind of main Batman run, I guess.
But is that also the end of it?
Yeah, 12 is like the last issue.
Oh, I thought it was 15.
And I haven't even read one. So I picked up all of them, and I plan on reading them at some point.
I haven't even finished his Batman run. So
Berserker number 9 came out.
Ooh.
So I picked up two of those. That book never misses with its variant covers. Really? I swear to God, yeah. There's a lot of really cool ones.
Was there one specifically that you got? Or
I pick up two covers, and I let Sophia pick which one she likes, but I'm going to keep the cool one this time.
Ah.
8 Billion Genies number 2 came out, so I picked that up. That's the one that just got an Amazon deal. And then What's the Furthest Place from Here number 7 as well.
Nice, nice.
So those are pretty solid week for me.
I probably get like all those same things.
Yeah.
And then also probably going to just grab the Clementine trade.
Nice.
And yeah, did you watch anything new?
I read a bunch of stuff, Daniel.
Oh, read. Yeah,
I am between jobs on purpose. That's
he's not hurting.
I'm not hurting, but I just wanted some extra time between jobs, so I read a hell of a lot. Actually, not really, but I read two other trades, Daniel, essentially.
Wow. Did you take notes for them in case you do an episode?
No. But I read all of Clementine.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Image one, that are Skybound from Tilly Walden. And it's fucking incredible, dude.
Incredible. Wow.
Yeah. It's Clementine from like the Walking Dead video games.
Yeah.
But you don't need to know like everything that happened with Clementine. Because I really only played like the first two seasons of that game. And I think they came out with like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But it does really good with like helping you fill in the gaps. You don't really need to know them in general. But God, that book, it like made me cry. I was like, wow, this is so sad. But it's like, there's a bit of wholesomeness in there, but it just like the amount that Clementine has to go through. And since I did play like one of the seasons where like Clementine was in it, I was reading the whole thing like in her voice in the game, like that voice actor's voice, which is so vulnerable. It's so vulnerable. And so like just her talking to like other people, and like she's like everybody's like damaged, and like you could tell how hard it's been for like her. It's just like an incredible 200 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still going to be a book 2 and a book 3. And
oh,
I'm super fucking hyped for them.
Cool.
Because this book was really cool. And yeah, it was awesome. I also read a Batman book that my buddy Parker let me borrow. And then I didn't read it for 2 years. And so
naturally,
I had him over this last weekend because we were building Sophia a gaming PC. And he was helping out with that.
Yeah.
He was looking at my bookshelf and he was like, "Do you ever read this?" I was like, nope. And then he put it on top of my need to read pile. And so I read that. And it was Batman Kings of Fear by Scott Peterson and Kelly Jones, I think.
Okay.
But it's just kind of like an older Batman book. It was really fucking good. it's like it is the type of Batman that's like weirder, and he's got like long ears, and like the artist really fucking nails like that sort of Batman.
Cool.
And it was like a Scarecrow book, but it kind of like, it was just an all around like really strong Batman book. It was like six issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, there's no like bullshit origin or anything like that. Like, it's just, everybody knows Batman. Everybody knows his like rogues gallery. So there's no like explanation for how those people, you know, became whoever they were. It's just like, here's the situation kind of deal.
Yeah.
And it plays into like that famous idea of like, why doesn't Batman just like use his money to fix people or whatever? Like, that's like a big fear of Batman's, and Scarecrow uses like his fear toxin to like explore that a lot.
Okay.
And it's really good. It's really good. And the colorist was interesting because a lot of the shading was like rainbow, which is something I'd never seen before.
Okay.
So I took a picture of like one example of it, or like, I guess not really the shading, but like the highlights were always like rainbow colored. So everything was like really sort of neo-noir in this.
Yeah.
And it was really fucking cool.
Neat.
So I really enjoyed it. It's a quick read. Six issues.
Batman, so is it Kings like of a, Fear. You said six issues, so
yeah.
Like a limited series kind of thing.
Limited series. Got
collected.
Yeah. Pretty
cool.
Pretty just all around strong Batman. And he's a little bit weirder. So if you want like a little bit weirder, like non sort of like uniform Jim Lee sort of Batman, this is really good.
Nice.
And like that artist did stuff with like Neil Gaiman on Sandman, and he did like a couple Dead Man series. He did one called Dead Man Exorcist, which I'm really interested in reading.
Huh.
So
sounds interesting.
Yeah. Cool. But those were the two things I read. I plan on reading a lot of single issues in the next coming days as well. But those are the ones that I read this week.
Did you watch anything new or interesting?
Watch anything? Oh, Umbrella Academy season 3 I started.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first episode.
Dude, I love that first episode.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
When they, like, I guess spoilers for it, if you plan on watching it, it's fucking awesome. But
yeah.
That beginning sequence where they like fucking dance to Footloose.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the greatest show ever made. Cause he's like,
I'm like, are they really going to sell it over this?
They're about to like fight. And then like their number one was like, I guess we got to do this the old fashioned way. And then they start dance battling. And I'm like, what is going on? And everybody else starts fucking joining in. Yeah. It was like a 5-minute dance sequence. And I'm like, this is the best show ever made.
Yeah.
It's so good. I watched like the first 3 episodes, I think.
Okay.
And it's really strong. I just like missed those characters.
Yeah.
And so
I like seeing like the new people as well.
Yeah, the Sparrow Academy like have really interesting powers.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how Ben's like kind of like a douchebag.
Yeah.
The Ellen Page transitioned to Elliot Page, and so that character Vanya also makes like a transition in the show, and I think they approach it like to perfection.
Oh, spoilers, Nathan.
Well, I mean, like, that it was going to happen.
That is cool, though.
Yeah, like, I think that it could have been done wrong a couple different ways, and they navigated it, like, perfectly. Like, it wasn't just like a, oh, you're this now, that's fine. But, like, they intertwine that into what happened in seasons before.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, it just really shows, like, a growth of that character. So I think they did really fucking good with it.
Yeah, I bet with, like, a lot of input from him, like,
yeah,
it definitely,
yeah, from Elliot,
they're able to get that right.
Yeah, it was just cool. It's just cool. I'd never seen that happen with like a character, and especially not in like comic book stuff either, so that was something pretty cool.
Yeah, we should talk about that show like once we get through it all.
Yeah.
Any movies, anything like that?
Well, we built Sophia a gaming PC.
Cool.
Over the weekend, and we played this game called Pulsar Lost Colony.
Okay.
And it's basically like you're running like your own Star Trek sort of thing. Like, it's a game in space, and you're a crew that has to like pilot the spaceship, and everybody's got like a different job kind of deal, and you're just like going and picking up like saving people or getting different artifacts, or you could even take like a more simple route and just deliver food to people on other planets, like you're a fucking space DoorDash. And it's really cool because it's like everybody has a different role on the ship. So there's like a pilot, there's a captain, there's an engineer, there's like a person that handles and points the shields, there's like a gun specialist, and like the coordination of everybody has to be so spot on. So it's like you don't need like a bachelor's degree kind of deal of knowledge on this game to have fun, but it's really fun trying to like learn the different mechanics of the game. And like when you're, you can like hyperspace jump and you have to maneuver around asteroids, and if there's some, you can like board other like people's ships.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's played Sea of Thieves, it's like that, but they're not other players. It's all like AIs or computers that are people that you fight. And it's a really interesting game.
Huh.
So it was just like an indie game that we found. It was like $20, but totally worth it. Cool. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
But yeah, I think that's it, other than the shows that we normally watch.
We watched El Camino.
Oh, nice.
Because we were like, what did we watch? We like sat down and like, what did we do? We got like food. She like convinced me to get Burger King, and so we got Burger King. I know. I was like, fucking fine. We were into like Renewer Passport, and she's like, we can get Burger King too. I'm like, what do you mean?
That's not people.
It was like right. It was in the same place.
That's as not something people get excited about.
Yeah, I know. And
I'm sorry, I kicked that table,
dude. And she's like, I'm going to get the original chicken sandwich. I'm like, the original one? Not like the new
ones. They made
ones
better
that they
ones.
Made. Yeah. I tried the, you know, the one where they made to try and compete with Popeyes. It was like fine. Like, I didn't like hate it.
You didn't get the huge Whopper again?
No fucking
Have
Whopper.
Have you told that story on the podcast?
I don't know. Do you want me to?
Yeah, it's like my favorite story.
Oh, man. So it was my freshman year at ASU, and you know, just was trying to mix it up. Had too much Taco Bell from the, what's it called, the MU?
Yeah.
And it was Whopper Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
And so
I love it.
The little coupon books that they give you. Had a
yeah, I remember.
Had a coupon for Burger King, so I got a double Whopper, and then like fries and like a Fanta or whatever.
Nice.
And like, I take it back. I eat it. As you know, as fast as I eat,
just basically inhaling it.
Yeah, and like, I'm like just sitting there. I don't even know what I was doing, but I was just like started like sweating, just like I got so sweaty
just
and like
not doing anything.
My vision was like blurred, and like my stomach was killing me, and I just like had the shortness of breath. And I just like laid down. I'm just like
could not handle the Whopper Wednesday.
No, dude. And I was just like, is this how I die? Like. Is there something wrong here? I didn't know. I didn't feel like I had to like throw up any or at all, but if I tried, I probably could.
Dude.
And so it felt like I was like getting and breaking a fever all in like the span of like 30 minutes.
That's insane.
And I don't know if it was like the meat sweats or something. I don't think that comes with feeling ill or anything.
I think you had like a meat high.
Maybe,
or a grease high or something.
I don't
like
know
that.
It
that
was like
insane.
I was like shivering and sweating at the same time, and I was just like, I was just trying not to move, and I was staring at the ceiling just trying to calm down. I'm like, this is the shittiest way to die.
Just have a heart attack
in my fucking freshman year dorm of college. Like, yeah, on a Wednesday.
That's from a story. That's so funny.
And it was like, I think it's like all the mayonnaise that they put on those things.
Ooh, yeah.
Like they have as much mayonnaise as they do with like ketchup. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It was just like odd. And I like never had a Whopper before.
And that so was that, one experience
that Whopper. Was my first experience. And I'll like never get it again.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. That's scary.
I normally get like chicken fries because that's like the best thing on their menu.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love those.
Never fails. But... Love yeah, that. no Whoppers for me.
Anyway,
whenever people talk about it, I'm like, what do you mean? So yeah, we watched El Camino. I think it's a really great movie.
I'll have to watch it.
She's like, that was just like a long episode of Breaking Bad. I'm like,
great.
Well, yeah.
That's
kind of what it's supposed to be. I was like explaining to her like why it was exciting. Because it was like 8 years or something after the show ended. And like... No one thought it was going to like come back at all.
Yeah.
Or these characters are going
to
be back.
And to have Aaron Paul and like, I think it was the showrunner of the show that like directed it or something.
Yeah.
As well.
Vince Gilligan or whatever.
Yeah. Vince Gilligan.
And just like a lot of these characters came back and stuff like that. And there's new characters. And it was just like closure on like what happened. And so it was just really cool.
And you finished, or you're caught up with Saul, right?
Yeah. I'm all caught up now. And so. We watched that. Yeah, she was just like, I don't know what she was expecting, but I guess that wasn't it.
Yeah. Anything else?
And then we watched this new show called The Bear on Hulu.
Okay.
it's got the dude who, it's that kid, his name's Lip in, Shameless. Did you ever watch Shameless?
No.
Well, there's the guy in there, his name's Lip, like short for Philip.
Is it Cameron Monaghan?
No, the other one.
Okay.
Like the other one that's like the same age almost. But yeah, he's like, I guess Shameless ended last year. And so it's like his new show.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought it ended forever ago.
No. Last year.
Jeez.
And it's just like this dude who's like went to all like the fancy culinary schools and stuff like that, worked in like the best restaurant in the world in like New York, you know, and his like brother died and he went back home to Chicago to like run his restaurant, which is like an Italian place. And it's like super like kind of like tense. It's like kind of an adrenaline rush because it's very like chaotic. There's like so much going on, and it's like a very stressful situation that he's in because like the books were shit and like all, and he's got to get these people to like trust him and just like trying to get this place above ground basically. And it, you like start to like really care about all these characters who like are just people working in this restaurant and stuff like that. And just kind of this family dynamic that you start to learn more and more about. But it's really good.
It's a show?
Yeah, it's a show.
Is it on like HBO?
Hulu.
Hulu, okay.
It's like a Hulu original, like presented by FX or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like Dave was, I guess. But yeah, it's like 8 episodes, like 30-minute episodes.
Very cool.
And so I like recommend it cautiously because I haven't finished it. Mm-hmm. We're like halfway through it.
Nice.
Jackie like made me watch. She's like, you should watch this. I'm like, why? She's like, because if you watch it, we might get a season 2. I'm like, that's not a good reason. Like, I need to know why I should watch this. I just saw a bunch of ads for it. I'm like, oh, it's a kid from Shameless. Again? It's called The Bear.
The Bear.
I don't know.
It's not E-A-R or A-R-E?
E-A-R.
Okay, like the animal.
Like the dude's name, some people call him Bear.
Oh, okay.
His name's like Carmen. I don't know how you get... yeah, it's kind of a bad name for this show because it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But
anyway, yeah, we're watching that. And this is kind of what I watched. I didn't make time to read anything. I'm like catching up on like what I want to do with like the video editing and stuff like that, and so once I kind of get all caught up, then I have time for more of that stuff.
But yeah,
anyway, should we talk about Ms. Marvel?
Yeah,
did you watch today's episode?
Yep, episode 4. Yeah, this one was a little bit weird to me.
I thought it was cool. I think this is probably my favorite one, honestly.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, I really enjoyed that they, like, went to Pakistan and seeing, like, some of the stuff that's going on over there. And
seems like a fun place.
Kamala's mom, like, is talking to, like, her mom. What's her name? Aisha?
No, Aisha's, like, her great-grandmother. I don't know what her mom's name is. Okay. Just call her Nani.
Nani, yeah. And, like, I like that. I'm
surprised that she was able to, her Nani convinced her mom to take Kamala to just Pakistan.
Pakistan.
I'm like, that's got to be so expensive. Yeah, that's on a dime. You know?
Halfway around the world. Like, that's insane. But yeah, I enjoyed like seeing all that stuff because I'm like, this is kind of cool. But what was weird for me was like the Red Dagger stuff, because
that did move kind of fast. It was, but like, it was kind of cool.
She's like at a train station. She's like, what's this train station about? And then like the Red Dagger dude's like trying to kill her, and then like couple minutes later he's like, come with me, and then,
yeah,
and then they're like homies, and then she figures out a whole bunch about the Red Daggers, and then there's that guy, and then he just like dies later, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, there's so much like
first of all stuff
happening.
Her cousins just like left her in this like foreign country,
yeah, and they're like,
she wanted to go to the train station,
just meet us for coffee later. Yeah. I'm like, no, she's gonna get trafficked or something. Like, there's a lot of people there.
It is a little odd that she just happened to run into the people that have all the answers, you know.
Yeah, yeah, she's done that like 3 times now.
So I guess this kid like thought that she was a part of the clandestines or whatever.
Yeah,
but she's not, and so now, and then they followed her to Pakistan, so they were running away.
So the family that lives on another dimension, are they the Jinn or the clandestines?
I think like both.
Okay,
so the Jinn is like the species.
Jinn's like kind of a generic term, it seems like.
Yeah,
I think directly translated it was like demons or something. But
if you Google it, a lot of like genies come up.
Oh yeah, genies or something like that. Yeah, so I think they kind of use that term loosely, but there's like two categories of like, I don't know, people that are strong or strange or some way. And so, I don't know, that part's like a little bit confusing. Like, I know who the good guys are and I know who the bad guys are. I just don't know what we call them.
I think the clandestines, I don't want to say that every time, but like, they're the bad guys and they're all Jin, you know?
Okay,
all
right.
Like Kamala and them. So... It was a cool like chase scene though that they did that where they just like chase them through Pakistan with all these different cars and
yeah,
stuff like
I did like that. Yeah, when they're on like the truck and then Kamala has to like drive again, but it's like it's on the opposite side. Like I thought that chase scene was really good.
Yeah,
because it seems very narrow and seems like you could just kill a lot of people randomly. But
I guess
does Kamala's mom not know about the what do they call it, the Gable?
The bangle.
Yeah,
she knows about it. I don't think she knows what it does.
Does she know that Kamala's running around with that thing? Like, it seems like everybody in the show knows except mom.
She has it on like just casually, so
she doesn't know that it has powers, I guess. But she knows
probably not.
There's some fucked up shit with it because she tried hiding it before. So that perspective is weird to me.
Sure,
but yeah.
So I guess the plan that the bad guys have is like there's like a veil that hides their dimension and they want to take down that veil in order to destroy our dimension.
They had a very helpful visual there.
Yeah. Yeah. That helped a lot.
And I'm so, like, is that just in the ground for when you tell people about this? Like,
yeah,
the thing comes up like it's fucking Tony Stark and it's like, here's what's going on.
Yeah. And, Kamran's mom just like ditches him because like,
yeah, I was messed up.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? That's your mom.
I know. Like, just he doesn't know. Yeah. She like completely plans on ditching his ass
in like a different country.
And then like plans on just destroying the dimension that he's stuck in.
Yeah.
Not a good mom.
Not at all. And then just like in this fight, the bangle gets like stabbed with like a spear and she like goes back in time or something.
Yeah. Did she go back in time to like the partition?
I think so. Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
It seems like that.
It seemed, yeah, like it, and maybe she saw like her mom,
as or maybe it's just like young. A super like specific vision or it something.
Could be. Yeah, but that's like the cliffhanger, and I was like, oh wow, okay, that's where we're ending. So
yeah, I was like, is this about to end right here? Because I'm so confused.
Yeah, there was a lot that happened in here, and I think the pacing of it was a little bit weird. And there's a whole arc with the Red Daggers, and I wish maybe that was spaced out a little bit more because I don't even know what that first dude's name is.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know what to call him. Just a kid.
Just that.
He. Kid. So this season is 6 episodes, and so I think if it maybe got that 8, like a lot of this would be able to breathe a bit more.
I think so, yeah.
And maybe like the death of that one dude would hit a little bit harder or something like that.
Yeah, because we had known him for like 10 minutes, and then he like dies.
Yeah, he seemed
saving
nice.
Everybody. Yeah, I liked him. He gave off good vibes.
Yeah, he's good at fighting.
When that kid like first threw the dagger, and she like saw it, I was like, "Oh my god, it's Elektra!" But I'm like, "Well, wait, Elektra doesn't actually throw daggers, so I had no idea.
I didn't think that like at all.
I was trying to figure out who that could have been because it was clearly somebody new.
What was weird is that like the knife like came like from the side of her head and went like into the wall like that, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like looking like over here. Like
I know. She's like,
where did it come from? But it clearly came from behind.
Yeah, like it hits here and she's like, we'll do
that. Yeah. But anyway,
it's fun.
We'll see where that goes.
I'm having fun with it.
I thought this had like the better action scenes of the season so far. And like
she's clearly getting the hang of like her powers.
Yeah, she's getting way better at fighting.
She saves those people from the truck and flips the truck. Thought that was really cool.
She's been falling a lot and breaking her fall with her little thing.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. They're getting creative with the hard light constructs for sure.
Yeah, it still would be better as her comic powers.
I agree, but I guess we'll see. You know,
yeah, I don't know.
I hope that this one ends well because none of the Disney Plus shows have really like ended perfectly for me, like stuck the landing.
It's,
so
it's like a little rocky with the pacing.
Yeah,
and so that makes me think that it might not.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I just worry about that. But I don't think it's like a Miss Marvel like problem. I think it's just Disney Plus show problem for some reason.
I feel like this maybe didn't get like enough
because it's weird
hands on it, I guess, to work out those kinks.
And maybe it's because it's like obviously an ongoing universe, so like none of these character stories are going to end like right there, and maybe that's part of like the problem. But Moon Knight was supposed to be just like one season, to my understanding, and then maybe like halfway through they're like, we got to do season two because people like it.
I don't know,
something like that.
Was that confirmed?
It was like, at least at the very beginning, it was like, this is just going to be like a one season thing. And I think that if they stuck with that, it probably would have ended better, but then that just like would have been the end. So,
I guess. I don't think they, did you think they added like the after credit scenes to make it seem like, oh, there's more kind of thing?
I don't think they did that like audible, like as the show is coming out. I just think that during production, maybe they realized that people really like Oscar Isaac and really like the idea of having Moon Knight. So maybe they just like changed it and made it. But that's just me guessing, because
I hope it's like a Daredevil thing where it like continues to stay like self-contained. And
I would
only,
like that.
The only issues are with him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So
we'll see, I guess.
But let's get in. What we watched, The Boys episode six.
God,
this episode's so good.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. I watched it when Sarah was in the room, and I was like,
shit.
I was like, you know that show that I watch when you're working? You always think I'm watching porn. She's like, yeah. I'm like, can I watch that? And she's like, fine. And I'm like, let me warn you that there is a orgy in this with superheroes.
Yeah.
So just kind of be aware of that. Uh-huh. And she's like, all right. And so,
yeah, there's like a warning in the beginning.
And oh, it was like, it's like, this is not
fucked up.
This is not for any audience. Honestly.
No one got hurt, though. They even mentioned animals, and I'm like, oh, God. And I think it was like the deep, because there's that part with the deep, which is really funny. But
yeah,
I mean, before it even gets there, like,
they made fun of that, like, celebrity singing video for,
dude, that was so good.
Dude, they had like Camille Nanjiani, and
the satire in the show is so funny, dude.
It's like through the roof,
because it's just hilarious. Like random things that like everybody somehow kind of experienced in some way, I think, and they were just like, let's just make fun of that.
I think it was the same song too.
I think it was.
And then they just mixed in some soups and make it seem like it was that world or whatever.
That was very well done. I didn't expect that, but it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And so like Butcher and Huey are working with Soldier Boy, and he's just kind of like running around trying to kill people, or kill the paybacks at least. And he doesn't seem like that bad of a guy, but he's still like a little bit unhinged. And he's got his chest blast going on.
He seems like he's like kind of rounding out. And then is not being so like, I don't know, a loose cannon.
Yeah.
And so it seems like he has like a mission that he's working on, not just causing all kinds of destruction.
And it's interesting because he's definitely douchey, and I don't think he's like a great guy, but he's like definitely not as bad as Homelander, at least not in his current state, because he's like, in this episode, he's really fucking losing it. Like, he's talking to himself in the mirror, and he's making all those weird faces that Anthony Starr is so good at making for some reason.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, like, Soldier Boy in general is, like, kind of an interesting character. But I really like that moment where it was just, like, him and Huey talking, and then Soldier Boy was just, like, commenting on how, like, men aren't as, like, macho or masculine as before.
Yeah.
And he was like Bill Cosby. You know,
that's America's dad.
Yeah, that's America's dad. Man, he made a strong drink or whatever. Thought, he's like, wow, a lot to unpack there. I thought that was a good scene.
He's like, where's the Oriental sauce? He's like, and he's like, why isn't there any? He's like, there's a lot of reasons why. Yeah, there's a lot of things. It's cool that Huey can't like lift his shield.
Yeah.
Like his shit's like either so heavy or it's like a Thor kind of thing.
Yeah. But I thought that was cool. He's got a sick fucking Soldier Boy costume too. Like, he looks really good in it.
Yeah, definitely.
Wasn't he like one of the like final people to be considered for like Captain America?
Oh, Jensen Ackles?
Yeah.
I have no clue. I don't think so. I think you're thinking
John Krasinski, I think, was also there, but I think he might have been as well. I could be wrong though.
Okay.
Okay, but, so yeah, Herogasm.
Yeah, so he wants to Soldier Boy wants to find TNT, which is like this Wonder Twins kind of parody.
Yeah, and they host Herogasm at their house.
Yep, where all the C-list heroes all
get together and fuck
and have this insane orgy. Oh, dude, we got fucking Love Sausage.
He's back.
He's back.
I thought he was dead because like he was definitely that same guy in season two.
Was it the same like actor and everything?
Same actor, everything. Nice. This big guy.
And they made him Russian. He looked like the character and everything.
Yeah. And he's... I like how that's how they just, like, open the door. It's just Love Sausage and his fucking snake dick is, like, sniffing people out. I was like, what the hell's going on? But, yeah, it was really... I like that that's how the different parties sort of came together. Like, even... So, like, Mother's Milk and Starlight are kind of pairing together, and they're trying to defuse the situation. And then, meanwhile, like, Butcher, Huey, and Soldier Boy are trying to find TNT, and then, like, the Deep's there, and then, like, A-Train's there for a different reason. It's just really funny that this is the event where everybody comes together.
Yeah. And then, like, because the Deep's there, like, Homelander shows up later.
So, yeah, I think that they orchestrated that super well. But, so, Termite's alive. We saw him.
Yeah.
He didn't, like, super ODs. He seems fine now. Mm-hmm. Like, I Love Sausage we saw. There's a couple crazy ones in there.
Yeah.
What's the dude? Blue Hawk?
Blue Hawk was there.
Yep. He's like, just, everybody's just like walking around naked.
Yeah.
There's that like huge, like, cum shot that hits like MM.
Oh my God.
And he was like just complaining about his favorite jacket.
Yeah. Just because someone like touched him.
Yeah. And he's like, it's my favorite jacket. And then he opens the door and just gets splooged all over. That was crazy.
A couple things with this. So Black Noir like cuts out like his like tracking chip thing.
Yeah.
Because he realizes that Soldier Boy's out there.
And that was crazy.
And he knows that he's coming at for him.
And he seems like scared. Maybe he's doing like something else and like trying not to be found. Like there might be something going on in the background, or maybe he's just fucking scared.
I think he's just trying to run. Yeah.
Either way. And I like how that affected Homelander. And he's like, he wouldn't leave me.
Yeah. Cause he was like the only person he can depend on or whatever.
Yeah. And he was even saying like, I'm really happy you're here to partner with me on this.
Victoria like shows Starlight that she knows that she knows Huey about knows. Her power. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a cool scene too. Cause in like one scene I was kind of like, my opinions of her sort of changed because obviously she like pops heads.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing, but I don't think she's like a bad person really either.
Yeah.
Like it seems like she just wants what's best for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she also wants to take down Homelander. So I'm like, I could see some synergy happening there.
Yeah.
But Starlight, you know, obviously doesn't want anything about that. But I thought that was an interesting scene.
Yeah. Kimiko gets kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's like Little a Nina. Whole... Yeah. And there's like a whole scene where... Frenchie's getting like tortured almost. And he has to pick one...
Mm-hmm.
person to kill, her or Sheree.
Did it seem like he could get out of that bike lock thing?
It did seem like he could probably like
it
squeeze.
Seemed like he could just like, I don't know, get out
like
from
his
under
nose
there.
Might like be a, in pain for a second, but
yeah, if he really wanted to, I think he could have gone out. But yeah, then there's that scene where Kimiko's like, it wasn't the V that made me a monster, it's just like, that's just who I am.
Yeah, because she's like killed,
she's a little harsh on herself. It was a brutal killing.
I mean, she like learned how to do all that stuff and has like kind of instincts now.
Yeah.
She's not like nearly as strong, but she can still like fucking kill someone with a shank.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That shit was crazy.
There was a cool. So first off, like Soldier Boy hears like Love Sausage's music, like the Russian shit.
Yeah.
And that's like what triggers him, I guess.
They find some pretty natural ways to like.
I know get that Russian this all triggers. Just kind of worked out.
They were like, "We need Love Sausage for this scene."
Yeah, because he's awesome.
He's Russian. Yeah,
and so that sets him off. And he just fucking like blasts all around like the whole house and basically kills most of
he
the
busts.
People there.
Yeah,
he busts, and
he blacks out for like a couple minutes again.
Yeah, and there's a part where A-Train like kills Blue Hawk by just like grabbing his leg and like running.
That was cool,
which I think is a great way because he like basically paralyzed his brother.
Yeah, and he's for sure dead, right?
I think so, because I think his heart exploded or whatever.
I think that well, we know that if he ever tried running his heart might explode, but I think that that was a really good send-off, I think, for A-Train, because one, he like genuinely seemed pretty sorry when he was apologizing to Huey.
Yeah.
And Huey was like trying to get him to fight. And then A-Train was like, I'm sorry, man. That fucking sucks. Kind of deal. And was like very genuine about it. And I was like, this is interesting. So, like, that was kind of closed. And then obviously the thing with Blue Hawk, you know, getting justice for his brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think he's for sure dead. But that was a great, I think, send off for him.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's this huge Soldier Boy Homelander fight.
That was so satisfying.
Absolutely so satisfying.
It was so good, and like the way like they raised the suspense, because like obviously Homelander like lasers Butcher, but we know he took the temporary V, but there's like a little bit of like, you know, he's about to join this fight too. So like the pacing of it was so good, and the fight itself was awesome. And
yeah
and then Huey joins the fight as well. It was so good, and he was clearly caught off guard, Homelander, by everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a sick fight.
What sucks is like they got like so close to like ending it. You know what I mean? They had them all pinned down, and then like Soldier Boy just had to like charge up or something.
Couldn't bust.
I don't know why that shit took so long.
Stamina? I don't know.
Maybe. But it was just like annoying that you got so close, and then he just shoots up. And
yeah.
Gets out of it.
But yeah, I'm really interested in what like his reaction is going to be with that, because that's got to hurt his ego on top of everything else that has been hurting his ego.
Yeah.
He's definitely, I think Homelander's going to die this season.
I think so. Cause they got that close. It's just a matter of like whether or not that blast would do damage to him.
Yeah. You know it seems I mean? Like it has been doing damage to a lot of super people. So
I don't want to think that like Homelander is like so invulnerable or anything. I mean, like, I don't know if we've ever seen him take like any serious damage kind of thing, but
no, I don't think so. I mean, no, not really. Like, we've seen him super bloody, but that was because he killed other people and made himself bloody.
Was he damaged at all in that Stormfront like fight at the end of season 2 where she dies almost?
No, he kind of shows up after, but he's all bloody because the military was trying to take Ryan, but Ryan was already taken by Butcher. And Homelander thought that the military took Ryan, and he was trying to get information out of them, but he just kind of goes crazy and kills all of them.
Right.
Remember when they're in that house?
Yeah.
And he like lasers a dude in half. But yeah, that's why he's bloody, because he killed people brutally. So he's not like.
Yeah, I don't want to think that, you know, the blast won't be enough because he's like a Superman or whatever.
But maybe it'll take his powers away like it did Kimiko.
Ooh, true.
That might be kind of interesting to see, like a Homelander stripped of his powers
in
some way.
It's weird how that was written to the point where like. His blast is not only like damaging, but it takes away powers, you know?
Yeah. But maybe it's only if you're like super strong, it won't kill you and it'll melt people that aren't super strong kind of deal. I don't know.
Perhaps. I think I just would prefer it if it was like a very destructive blast and it could kill Homelander.
Yeah.
I just want to kind of think of him just being like strong with the laser eyes and has like these powers. But like if something like that hits him, it will kill him, you know?
I thought it was interesting that Huey can, like, Nightcrawler people out of places.
Yeah.
Except he just doesn't bring their clothes. So it seems like it's only, like, organic things that he can, like, transfer.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll find a suit that's, like, organic matter or something, and he'll keep his suit on. But, yeah, when he jumps Starlight out, she's, like, naked, too. And I'm like, this is a really funny way to have them have an argument.
Yeah. They're just, like, naked, like, anyone can come up that road at any point.
But, yeah, he was being a kind of a bitch this season.
I don't think he was ever, like, my favorite character.
Yeah, but I think that some of his decisions are really annoying sometimes, but I don't think that they're unjust, like, or weird for that character. I just think that, in general, he's very insecure, you know?
Yeah, MM is kind of like that, too, with, like, he's clearly not thinking straight.
Yeah.
Because he was about to just go up and
he's like, I'll just
confront Soldier Boy.
I'll just punch you.
With his fists. Yeah. That have no compound
I
B in
that
them.
He knew that he was probably going to lose that fight, but I think he just wanted to go down just fighting his fight kind of deal. That's what I got from that.
Yeah, but that's not logical.
It's
like
not.
That's what I got too, but it's like, there's a way to go about this. And, you know, Soldier Boy wasn't very comforting with
the situation.
It was cool
that he just,
either.
Like, breathes in the halothane as well. Like, the knockout gas.
I thought it was just, like, a smoke grenade or whatever, but I don't know what halothane
is. I would have assumed it would have knocked him out. I don't think he was just going, smoke! And then, like, like he's fucking Chris Angel.
I'm like, it's not getting very thick in here. Yeah. Like, he can still see you.
Yeah. But good show. I think this was, like, my favorite episode of the season, I think.
You sick fuck.
Yeah, because I liked Herogasm so much. It actually wasn't, like, that bad.
I was expecting a bit more. I need to read that issue to kind of.
It's fucking way worse than the issue because they're like in a big warehouse.
I was expecting like people to be like flying and fucking at the same time. You know, like at least a bit of that.
Yeah, it's definitely comics can make things more gross if they want to, and I think.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was like more gross necessarily, but there was more sex happening. Because in the show, or in the comic, and it's just like that Free Comic Book Day one that I read, but they were just like, we're all going to space to fight this thing in space, but then they all go to a big warehouse and fuck for like a weekend.
Yeah.
So there's just like a lot more sex, but yeah. I think that the show had like more gross things happening because of like Love Sausage Dick and like the big cum shot or like deep fucking an octopus. that part was funny.
But, yeah.
Good show.
Good show.
I think that's
two more episodes of that.
Yep. And two more of Miss Marvel.
Yeah. What are we going to do, Nathan?
I don't know.
What are we going to read next week? All right. So
that's everything, right?
Thor, the God of Thunder next week.
Yes.
That's the one with gore and whatnot by Jason Aaron and Stepan
Asad Ribic.
Asad Ribic.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So yeah, just that first trade, you think?
Yeah.
Cool.
Is he in that for, is Gore just in it for one trade or is it
kind of? He's in it for two, technically.
Okay.
Because there's God Butcher and God Bomb, which are the two trades that are like right behind one another.
Yeah.
And there's like a Gore hardcover, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Didn't that just come out?
No, I've had it.
Okay.
Like I read most of Jason Aaron's run on Thor. Even like the Jane Foster stuff through like hardcover, except for like the last like 20 issues or something. Okay. Yeah. Good ass run. I'm excited for that book. It's like one of my favorite runs on any superhero.
Wow.
So
I don't,
good shit.
Have you ever read a Thor book on the pod?
No.
Wow. I mean, it's a good place to start, but
there's some good Thor out there.
Definitely took a minute to get to this.
Yeah. Yeah. We would just do the normal one. And then if there's a Jane Foster Thor movie, we'll just do Jason Aaron again, but that era.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Thanks, everybody, for listening or watching. If you're watching our YouTube, you can follow us. We're on Twitter at TradeWaitersPod. You can email us some stuff to read at TradeWaitersPod@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
We're on YouTube. You can find us on a link tree on either one of those platforms. We're also on Instagram.
All these things are in the link tree?
Yeah. The link tree will be in the description. Did we figure that out?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Check the description, link tree, follow all the stuff. It's all good.
Yep.
Thank you, Daniel, for editing stuff.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, Nathan, for coming.
Oh, yeah.
And talking.
We'll see you next week.
All right, bye.